Comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. Hear now these words. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise a child. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And he offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, and looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary in the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and rising of many of Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, their own town Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I suppose that most folks in our society, if they were here last Sunday and this Sunday, they'd be a little confused because they might say, well, no, last Sunday you talked about the shepherds and such, and but where's the camels? Talking about the wise men. And then some might even say, well, where's the reindeer? No, well, the reindeer don't enter in the story. And as for the wise men, that'll be next Sunday. They got here a little later. Okay, so unlike what you see on your Christmas cards and outdoor nativities, and you know, the wise men and shepherds didn't get there on the same night. There was a little difference and time gap. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to have them all together. I'm just saying just be aware, you know, that we kind of put those together, and those are really two separate events. Okay? So what's happened since then? Well, this is a good Jewish couple, Mary and Joseph, and so they're going to go do some very Jewish things. All right, so verse 20, we had about the shepherds praising God for all they heard and seen. All right, verse 21, 8 days later, it is time for Jesus to be circumcised. Now, that's what you do when you're a Jewish family with your sons. They go to be circumcised and says, what are you going to name your kid? And they say, his name will be Jesus. Why Jesus? Because that's the name the angel told Mary and told Joseph separately. The name shall be Jesus. And Jesus is just a Greek version of the good Hebrew name Joshua, meaning God saves. This kid is here to be our Savior. And then verses 22 through 24 refers to several laws in the book of Leviticus and such. One's talking about purification for the mother. Mary, she had to go and do a sacrifice to purify herself after childbirth. That was part of the Jewish culture, okay? You know, and that's where we're talking about the turtle doves and young pigeons. And that also gives us a clue to their social economic standards. You know, they can afford livestock, so they had to go with the lower tax bracket of the pigeons and turtle doves. And then their tradition was that you would buy your child back from the Lord. You would give a special offering in the temple for your firstborn child. Because the law says the firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. So there's that sense in Jewish culture, your firstborn son is holy, and therefore you should give a small donation to the church, if you will, to recognize that, you know. Think about like the prophet Samuel, how he was born and his mother dedicated him to the Lord. And we kind of have that in our culture as well, you know, when we dedicate babies and such. And say, I'm going to raise this child to walk in the ways of the Lord. So far, so good. You know, we have several Jewish ceremonies. But then Mary and Joseph get surprised by a gentleman by the name of Simeon. Okay? Now, Simeon was a righteous man and devout. And he was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. In other words, the redemption of Israel. He was looking forward to it. And it says that the Holy Spirit rested on him. It would be a mistake to think that the Holy Spirit was not active in the lives of God's people until the day of Pentecost. The fact is that throughout the Scriptures, the Old Testament, and first parts of the Gospel, you see that the Holy Spirit comes down from time to time, working in the lives of God's people. Now, very briefly, I can go back and, for example, remember in the book of, with Moses, where Moses is saying, Lord, this task is too great for me. And the Lord said, call up 120 elders, and I'll take my spirit and bid on them, and they will help you to lead your people. And then in the book of Judges, you may recall Samson every time he got in trouble. It said that the Spirit of the Lord would rush upon old Samson, give him this supernatural strength, and he could beat up his enemies. Later on, King Saul was filled with the Spirit. But Saul sinned so badly and grievously that the Lord removed his spirit from him. And then recall how in Bethlehem, the prophet Samuel shows up, anoints a shepherd boy by the name of David. And when he does, the Holy Spirit came down upon David. And of course, you have all the prophets and prophecies who had prophesied, calling God's people to repentance. They were filled with the Spirit. And so, Pentecost is when God's Spirit got poured out on all believers. But throughout the Old Testament, and other parts of the Gospel, you see where individuals had the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit rested upon Simeon. And verse 26 says, it had been revealed to him, the Holy Spirit, that Simeon would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. In other words, the Lord made a promise to Simeon. Simeon, you're not dying until you see the Messiah. Now, and I was doing a little math here, and I thought, now, if Simeon was 70 years old, what all had he seen in his lifetime? And I thought, well, no, he's seen the Romans come in, and he's seen the Romans put in King Herod the Great, install him. No, he's seen some uprisings. He's seen famines. He may have been around long enough. He would have been around to see the war between Mark Antony and Cleopatra that took place not too far from Egypt and Israel. He's seen some things. And yet the Lord said, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. Okay. I was thinking about my dad. He had his birthday last Sunday. He was born Christmas Day, too. All right. He was born in 1944. So when he was just an infant, you know, World War II was still going on. And then 1950s, you may call North and South Korea had their war. And you know, North Korea made the headlines recently by send those drones over South Korea. And then you had the Cold War, 1960s. The Vietnam War starts off. My dad actually was drafted and sent to Vietnam. And in the 1970s, you got a lot of turmoil going on. Gas prices shooting up, inflation. I mean, nothing I can relate to right now, you know. 1980s, you know, the Challenger disaster, the 90s, Oklahoma City bombing, 2000, Y2K, 2001, 9/11, 2008, Chapter 11, or when everybody was going bankrupt, losing their house, being foreclosed on, the Great Recession. You know, and they got the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, my dad, he's seen quite a bit in his lifetime. And unfortunately, I've seen so much already. You know, I'm just in my early 40s, you know. And I'm sure the devil must have gave old Simeon a hard time about that. Simeon, you're an old man. Look how much you've seen in your lifetime. Look at all the wars and rumors of wars and the chaos. You ain't going to see no Messiah. You'll be dead before he shows. Well, he is. He's not even going to come anyway. You just heard that in your head. This is something you just dreamed up one night. You know, when God makes us a promise, we got to hold on to it. Look at Hebrews talking about holding God's promises. Peter talks about how God's promises are precious. And if you're not careful, the old devil will so seize a doubt in your mind and maybe even seize a disobedience to disobey what God has told you to do and therefore disqualify you from a promise. But Simeon, I think he knew his Bible enough. He thought, you know, I recall way back in Genesis, there was a guy named Abraham. And the Lord promised Abraham, Abraham, I'll make you the father of many nations. I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and through you all nations shall be blessed. And years and years and years went by, and it seemed like nothing was going on. And then one day Abraham looked up and had three visitors, and it was the Lord and his angels. Abraham, this time next year, your wife Sarah shall have given birth to a son. And you recall that Sarah, being the good wife she was in the tent next door, eavesdropping in. And she laughed out loud and said, shall I no pleasure? Now I am old, my Lord is old also. And the Lord said, wherefore does Sarah laugh? And I said, she gave birth to a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And Sarah kind of did like this, said, I didn't laugh, you know. And the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. I heard you, you know. You know, I like that story because it shows how human these ancient saints were. But God made a promise to Abraham. In his old age, he had a son, and he named him Isaac. Isaac is Hebrew for laughter, because Abraham's there laughed the idea of having a son. Simeon is an old man, but God's promised him that he would see the Messiah. And then the day comes, guided by the Spirit. The Spirit says, Simeon, get up, get going. Today is the day you're going to meet the Messiah. And what was Simeon expecting? I don't know. Was he expecting like a soldier come in, or a young warrior, maybe a prince from the house of David come in with some jewelry on? Simeon comes in, and what does he see? He sees a young carpenter and his young wife and a little toddler, a little baby. And Simeon walks up and takes Jesus in his arms and starts praising God. And I kind of wonder now, like, now how did that work in real life? I mean, Bayes, what would you do back in the day when Clint was a baby? Somebody just came in here and just picked him up and start rocking him. And you know who the guy was. Would you like, oh, that's sweet. Or like, is this guy going to try to kidnap our son here? No, I mean, what's going on? Is this stranger danger? But he breaks into a song of praise. And notice how many times in Luke's gospel with Zechariah and Mary and now Simeon, people are breaking the songs, praising God. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace. Oh, Lord, I can die peacefully now, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. And you can see Simeon here just rocking his little baby. which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. Think about that. Simeon says, Lord, this is your salvation, this little baby right here. And then he says, you have prepared in the presence of all people. This is a good alliteration, prepare, presence of people. This is for all people. What did the angels tell the shepherds last Sunday? Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus is God's gift to all people. What's that famous verse in John chapter 3? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is God's gift to the world. Your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples. And then he breaks it down to Gentiles and Israel. No, Jewish people, non-Jewish. He said for the Gentiles, he is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. In other words, the Romans, the Greeks, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Arabs were all in spiritual darkness. The people of Africa were in spiritual darkness. The people up in Europe, my Irish ancestors, and Scottish ancestors, and English ancestors were in spiritual darkness. The people of China, Japan, and India were in spiritual darkness. The Aborigines in Australia were in spiritual darkness. The native people here in North America and South America were in spiritual darkness. Oh, they had some ideals on them. There was a God. There was a spring being. They knew there might be a God of the river and God of the clouds. But they didn't know who this God was. They had a vague ideal, spiritual darkness. Jesus is the light of revelation. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's why at Christmas we light our candles and put lights on the tree. We have the light of the star of Bethlehem. Why are we those lights out? We don't do it just because we're pretty. We do it because Jesus is the light to the Gentiles. He's the light of God's revelation. The people who dwell in darkness have seen a great light. And then he says, and for the Jewish people, for the glory of the people of Israel. He said, in Jewish history, now we've had some heavy hitters. I mean, you go back, we had Abraham, the father of the faith. Moses, the lawgiver of the Ten Commandments. We had the judges. We had King David, the author of the Psalms. We had these great prophets and prophecies who came along. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Malachi, Obadiah, Haggai, all of them. And he said, yet the climax of Jewish history is right here. This little Jewish baby. I remember watching a YouTube video with an Anglican priest, Bishop N.T. Wright. And he talked about one time he invited the chief rabbi of London to come in to speak. And during times of questioning, they're asking some questions and such. And someone asked the Jewish rabbi, I said, what do you think was the purpose of Christians? And he said, well, let me tell you what I think of Christians. He said, how many Jewish people are there in China right now? And no one knew the answer. And he said, last I've heard, there were 7. He said, what I know is they'll probably get blamed for everything that goes wrong, and there'll probably be 8 synagogues. He says, how many Christians are there in China? And someone gave, and he said, well, the last I checked, the numbers, and he told how many. He said, you Christians are doing what we Jewish people were supposed to be doing. You're making the world learn about the one true God, the God of Israel. How did that come through? Jesus was the glory, the climax of the Jewish people. And then verse 33 says, and the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Now, Mary and Joseph got surprised, you know, because they kind of thought this was between themselves, but then those shepherds found out about it, and now Simeon knows about it. And it says, then Simeon blessed them. He blessed Mary and Joseph. And then notice what he says to Mother Mary. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many of Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. You know, Jesus, for some folks, was a cornerstone of their faith. But for others, Jesus was a stumbling block. He brought the best and worst out of people. This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many of Israel. And then he says that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And then he ends on the personal note with Mary. And you almost see her just kind of put his hand on her arm and say, look in her eyes and say, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And I'm sure that kind of took Mary and Joseph back a little bit. I mean, you weren't expecting that. I mean, men go, it was all good news, and now you're saying, a sword will pierce my soul. Well, when you read the Gospels, you see Mary was very human. When Jesus was gone for 3 days, she was like that mother home alone. She was scared for him. And then during his ministry, Mary got concerned and thought he'd gone crazy because he would not eat his food. He was so busy preaching and teaching. And then the moment that really must have broke her heart is the part on Good Friday when Mary is at the foot of the cross, seeing her beloved son dying a cruel death, being mocked at and jeered. A sword will pierce your own soul too. You know, when she took on being the mother of Jesus, she took on a great burden. No, we kind of forget about the dark side. We remember the parts on the Christmas cards. But that was a great burden she bore. And it reached its climax on Good Friday, seeing him suffer and die. Well, Simeon's not alone. We have Anna. Anna is a prophet. And it talks about she was married at one point, her husband died. And now she's been a widow, and she's 84 years old. And she never leaves the temple, but she worships there fasting, praying, night and day. And it says, at the moment she came, she began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for redemption of Jerusalem. So here's Mary and Joseph, and they had this old man here holding baby Jesus and talking all this stuff, and hands him back and blessing them and says, and by the way, a story shall pierce your soul. And then here comes Anna, and she begins rejoicing and praising. And she is stopping people and said, this child is the Messiah, the one who will redeem Israel. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph just about fell over. Like, you know, well, we thought this was kind of top secret. And then this gives us a little head where we'll be next week. It talks about going to Nazareth and how the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, what about us? Has God ever made a promise in your life? Did the devil come along and try to put some seeds of doubt in your mind? If so, you got to be like old Simeon. You got to have faith. You got to be like Anna. You got to have faith. And say, you know, I might be an old man, old woman, but I'm going to have faith that God will keep his promises. Now, there's a song we like to sing, you know, we won't sing today because it's not a Christmassy song, but now, standing on the promises of God my Savior, you know, that's what we need to be about. Like Simeon and Anna, we need to be standing on the promises of God. All right. And for our closing hymn, we'll turn to page 246, Joy to the World.